Listen, I don't want to take the focus away from the two of you in this game, but for the record, you saw that hole. You saw I could have scored that touchdown. That's one of those touchdowns the Damashek.
No, you definitely
scored.
Couldn't score.
No, I would have.
You like could have got through it, but right. You might would have got slapped.
You would have got smacked.
No, you saw Ike Taylor was getting blocked at the goal line. I would have waved to him as I went by.
Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
You know, it really is one of the most insulting things that a layperson can say to a professional football player, and that is that, oh, I could have done
that. Do
that. Yes, you know, that hole was so wide open that I, competing against the greatest 1% of the 1% of the 1% of athletes in the world, could have accomplished something that only the 1% of the 1% of the 1% are capable of accomplishing.
And of as you state, the 1% of the 1% of the 1% is really elite, and the person who said it is actually like the
sub-athlete.
The 100th percent of the 100th percent of the 100th percent. So it's more of an insult even than anyone else saying it.
Sithi, I don't know if you have analytics on this, but when I plug all the variables into my equation and run my 10,000 simulations, the outcome of that play is Dave Damashek turns into dust.
Yes.
He explodes into dust after not even gaining a single yard. That's how that play ends that Dave
suggests.
Do
they even get the play off? I mean,
no.
Do they even get the – because no, I don't even think there's not even time for dust.
Dave commits a false start in the backfield.
I'm calling myself out. I'm calling myself out.
There'd be a flag on the play. Oh. He'd be lined up incorrectly. There's all kinds of reasons why it wouldn't work out.
Hi and hello, football fans. We're here in studio.
Here's another problem, by the way. Here's another problem I have, and I'm going to bring this up and see where you two come out on this. Maybe somebody else will join us if he feels the need to do
right.
so.
Maybe. If he showed up.
Maybe that'll happen. Where do we all come out on the salad bar / fruit bar in our NFL Network commissary and the common spoon, right? Because you're getting your mitts all over the spoon. And this happened today. I saw someone scoop out a couple of the hard-boiled eggs.
Ugh.
And again, anybody that wants to weigh in, feel free to weigh in on this topic, please.
Hi and hello.
Wait, what? Who is this?
What time did we start here? How far in are we?
We're 3 minutes in.
We
started exactly
minutes,
at...
We're 19 minutes from when you were supposed to arrive.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
Very well, thank you,
How
Dave.
Was your trip abroad?
Do you know what? I managed to fly all the way from London to L.A. and show up on time for a podcast that
you
were only like 20 miles away.
Were
you in a car accident?
I slept on my own child's floor. I woke up. I've been turned around this way and that since...
I'm 8 hours.
Dawn.
I was on a.
I woke up. I woke up after
zone.
4 hours of laying
think,
on a floor. What?
I think seven time zones away wins.
Seven
I disagree.
I think seven time
you,
zones away wins.
You slept in Los Angeles.
Money, go sleep on that floor for 4 hours and then tell me how it is. All right.
He wouldn't be late if he slept on that floor.
Let's talk. Let's talk true. About it all. We have a lot to get to. We haven't much time to do it.
Almost time. But do we have enough time for you to apologize to everyone?
Never going
to
happen.
My name's on the door.
It'll never happen. I do want to table this discussion, though, for another day.
Which is what? The spoon?
The community spoon.
I don't like the community spoon. I like hard boiled eggs. I like all of it.
So,
no community spoon.
You know,
spoon.
By the way, for the record.
Separate spoons. What do we have? No money here?
We need a jug that holds the spoon because I watched somebody scoop out their hard boiled egg and then they throw the spoon in the tray and now the handle. Where they put their dirty mitts is laying on top of the hard-boiled eggs that someone is going to scoop out.
Well, let me tell you something about that. First of all, Handsome Hank tried to take me to task a couple of years ago, if you'll recall, Money. I don't know if you were around for the great hard-boiled egg scandal of...
I was not.
2014, 2015.
It's a terrible thing. I'm
on the right side of history on this.
No,
here's what happens.
Oh, I've opened an old wound.
They used to. They no longer do this. They used to put, as you'll often find in salad bars across society, a hard-boiled egg sliced in half.
Right.
Or sometimes they'll slice it even further than that, but it will sustain, the yellow will sustain itself.
It's not scattered everywhere.
Right.
Now, I don't care about the yellow. I don't want the yellow's not for me.
I'm with you. I don't want the yellow
like
either.
Some people like that protein. A lot of people enjoy the yellow. They want to ingest that. That's their business. Okay.
Ingest it.
Hey, listen. I'm a citizen of society. I want to help everybody out. I only need the white part. So what would I do?
As opposed to what? You're a citizen of.
I mean, an upstanding,
to,
okay. an upstanding okay. one. That's the important. You're right. I needed that adjective in there.
Just the
yes.
low bar.
Yeah. Right.
I exist
yes. now. So I would. So out of you know, deference to my fellow upstanding citizens of society, I would take the tongs, not the spoon, but the tongs, and I would pick up my
squeeze
egg,
it.
And I'd squeeze it until the yellow fell out back into the bin so somebody could
what?
Have it.
You can't do that.
I can do it. I did it.
It's against the rules.
I did it, and I did it as a favor.
It's
as
selfish.
A favor.
No,
favor to
how is that selfish?
Because if
I'm not going to eat it.
If it's not good enough for you, why do you think it's good enough for everyone else? Because you're actually not an upstanding
No, you know
citizen.
Why? You know what? Because
why?
I'm not myopic like you. I understand that while yellow may not be my flavor, maybe it's yours.
No,
see?
No.
Why am I too good for it? I'm not too good for it. I don't like it. You might
Probably.
Like it. Here, I left
Emma,
some for
you.
I don't trust the,
I left
I don't
I apologize.
Trust the yellow when it doesn't
All right,
come with
let's
the white.
Move on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I all I'm saying is, how about a jug for the spoons so I don't get your yeah. dirty mitts all over my eggs and my
right.
blueberries
and,
it, my
and
strawberries.
Then, and then it falls back into the lettuce.
Since right. it's always That's what
about,
I'm saying.
Since it's always about football here.
Dave is, and, by the way, you can't see.
He's still
Dave
dressing.
Dressing.
Right. That reminds dressing. Me. That reminds me of when Money and I asked Rob Gronkowski what his favorite utensil was, and he didn't know what a utensil was.
No, he didn't. And he didn't. And then he decided to go with that, like some sort of fictitious Sport. Giant cereal spoon that he could beat his brother over the head with.
His I'd like to think my guess that actually exists in his house.
Yes, right? They use like a ladle. Yeah. And a bucket exactly. is what they would eat their cereal.
Yeah, like those ones that you see at Cheesy at like what is it? What are those places?
Like Chuck E. Cheese or, yeah. or I know what you're talking about. The kids that have the giant ones.
The giant ones. I'd like to think that that is yeah. in fact what he.
And
what
I would
he
imagine
used.
He would get very upset if someone else was using his one. He has his own favorite one.
I envisioned the if you remember the fine cable feature film Rad. I envisioned the cereal bowl ramp where the BMX bike would drive off the spoon that was the ramp into the cereal bowl that was sponsored by Kix. Great product placement there in the early 80s.
Kix.
Money, did you ever sleep on the floor of one of your children to see them through a sickly evening?
One of the worst nights I had after the birth of our first child. She was a colicky kid, and she was up all night, and Mom needed a rest because she had been up one too many nights. I was doing mornings here on the local station, K-Rock, and I used to wake up at 3:45 in the morning.
Humble brag.
And I remember being up all night and hearing my alarm go off in the other room to wake me from a night of slumber in which I did not have a single second. But laying with a crying child on my chest, I had to stand up, turn off the alarm after zero sleep, hand the baby to Mom, get in the shower, and go to work.
I had a very similar experience, except I did not hear my alarm going off in the other room, thereby causing me to miss a call that I do every week with my pals in Pittsburgh on DVE morning
boy.
Radio.
Uh-oh. To talk
to them. Left them hanging.
Uh-oh. I missed it.
Uh-oh.
Am I unprofessional?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe. But am I an upstanding citizen
no, yes.
of society? Yes.
No.
Yes. I
You're
give
not.
Those yellows
Yokes.
To
You're
help
not.
People
who
want
right.
yellow. Anyway, all right, listen.
Doesn't
Here's
count.
What I want to talk about before we dig in on some football. Did everybody get their theme songs in? Everybody feels
All of it's
we
got nothing
all,
in. We just did 3 minutes of
3 minutes of conversation.
Listen.
You know what we did? We grabbed the ass for about 3 minutes, and
That's
here we are.
That's what Money loves to do.
I
Make
do.
Sure you check them out on AM 570 every day with Petros and Petros Papadakis. And also, he's the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers. Cindy Freeland, of course, check her out on Game Day Morning. TNF pregame, all that jazz.
Not to mention the free money podcast.
I was going to get to the
all
free
right,
money
well,
podcast
I
after I did
you.
Both of them. And then there's Handsome Hank.
Fresh up a plane
knows,
from London.
He knows better about everything than everybody.
Wait a minute. You
there's
just
no
said that?
Be upset.
That just
there's
came
no
from
to
you?
Be upset.
You're accusing okay. Hank of claiming that he knows better than everybody about everything?
Right. That's you.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh, no, I do.
See, that's
being sarcastic.
That's
at
the
you.
Difference.
It's upsetting to me that Handsome could sit in such close proximity to somebody who actually does have all the important
right.
answers.
Has all the
and yet he and deludes himself into thinking, like, oh, I can just bask in his reflected wisdom.
That's
you know,
exactly
no, you
right.
cannot.
That's
sir.
What I do.
Open
that's
your
why
ears.
I show up every time just to learn a little more from you, Dave.
I want to learn from Matt Money Smith. Nay, I want to learn from all three of you where you guys come down on the great Tom Petty. He passed away, of course, earlier this week and on a day of much grimmer stuff. But Tom Petty. That being said, let's talk about him quickly. Money is great with the
solo or and the Heartbreakers.
The whole thing. I guess the way is to measure him against other people that sort of fit him. I heard Howard Stern doing this earlier in the week. Where do you come down on Springsteen v. Petty?
I was a Petty guy. My older brother, Springsteen.
I think Springsteen.
You're Springsteen.
Yeah, over Petty.
Said Petty.
I'm Petty.
Yeah,
Petty.
Petty. I'm Petty as well. Yep. Yeah. By the way, Wildflower.
Both the working man's rockers, too, by the way.
Yeah.
The blue collar, not necessarily, you know, your Mick Jagger, good looking, take the shirt off, strut around stage front men. But, you know, hey, I'm just going to punch the clock. I'm going to grab my guitar and I'm going to crank out a bunch of hits. What do you think of that?
I think this is more sacrilegious. I think saying Petty over Springsteen probably is a sacrilege.
If you're from New Jersey.
I'll go one further. Not that they're exactly comparable musicians, but given a choice, give me the entire Tom Petty catalog over the Bob Dylan catalog.
Ooh.
How about that?
No, I'm not with you on that.
You're not going to go there with that.
Don't go there.
Cindy Free,
no.
You're out on.
And I love Petty. Love, love, love Tom Petty.
I'm just talking about what I'm going to listen to
for
the rest of my life.
Yeah, I
admire Bob Dylan's work, but ultimately, if I'm forced to or if I'm going to listen to one or the other, Wildflowers to me is my favorite Tom Petty record and one of the more underrated records of our lives.
So Wildflowers, so good, and again, I guess you're going to say a humble brag, but when so good that, you know, again, this is a station in town that, you know, played Nirvana and Limp Bizkit and all that crap at the time. Such a good record. We played that song on K-Rock. You know,
is that right?
Yes, we did. We were like, look, it's just people are going to say, why are you playing Tom Petty on K-Rock? We're like, because it's the best song we've heard all year.
You know, you would have
played it. The single, but I'm just saying the entire album.
Had you gotten to work on time, you would have heard it on your drive-in because I heard it on my drive-in.
Did you really?
Yeah. That specific song. I was like, oh, what a nice morning.
What time were you in the car, Cindy?
I was a little early.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself one who should walk among the wildflowers?
Who doesn't consider one of themselves?
I don't know. I think a lot of, like me, I don't. I don't know. I still don't understand. I mean, I like to be outside. Right. I enjoy that. But the notion of these people who like to sleep outside on purpose, that's weird, you know? Like, I sleep on the floor out of necessity or out of caring for a
you've
child.
You've mentioned it a couple times now, Dave. You're a hero. In many people's eyes.
Do I deserve a trophy or
yes,
a parade?
You do.
I mean, one or the other will
suffice. When you think about the sleeping conditions of the citizens of the world and the rigors that you were faced with.
Mm-hmm. I'm not here for your takedowns.
In a climate-controlled atmosphere with a roof over your head.
You know what? I don't like the pot shots I've been taking from Matt Money Smith and Cindy Freeland today. So free money.
Not going to plug it?
I plugged it, but I'm not playing your intro songs. But it has been a while since we've seen the man from across
the
pond there. He's been over the pond for the last fortnight. Here he is, everybody. Our resident Miami Dolphins fan, Handsome Hank.
Not so much of a Miami Dolphins fan anymore.
They let me down.
He's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
Some egg is what I always think that says. And that's the reason I had some egg is because Dave left it for me, finally, in the bowl.
Handsome. Heartbreaker. I mean, not even a heartbreaker, just a gutting kind of a loss. I mean, zero?
This is always
all
the
way to England to get zero?
It's the worst thing that someone can ever say to you, I think, is I'm disappointed in you. And that's what I would have liked to shake every Miami Dolphins hand after the game and just say, look them in the eye and say, I'm disappointed in you.
At least I got to see my Henry. Thank you, Commissioner Goodell, for sending my boy across the ocean.
Oh, Mom.
What a pleasure to see him.
I like this. I have this vision of, at the end of that game, Hank barging into the Dolphins locker room and just bowing up on Jay Cutler and going, I blame you. And then just turning around and walking out.
Sir, if you can't properly carry out your fake on the Wildcat, I'm not sure we need you. Rubbish. Rubbish that. Oh, Henry, take it easy on Jay Cutler. I'll make your favorite bangers and mash for you and your friend Jay.
I don't know. All right,
let's move on.
Handsome, what do you want to talk about?
Oh,
in honor of your return,
well,
we have something written down here. Handsome Hank's topic of choice.
Well, Emma was very kind. She let me put something in. All I wanted to do was just say, despite the fact that that game was, and maybe I'm overreacting because I watched the Dolphins get humiliated in London and they were very disappointing, but it was just about the worst football game I've ever watched. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, catch any of it on TV, but sure. It was a badly played game. There were hundreds and hundreds of penalty flags. The week before that, the Jags scored lots of points, but I don't think anyone would describe it as a good game. What I think is amazing is that the fans in the UK come out and be even more excited about the idea of football being played in London.
They're used to low scores.
They're kind of used to those types of scores, exactly. Certainly nil-nil at halftime at Wembley is
nil scintillating.
Not unfamiliar for soccer fans in London. But then on the Saturday last week, they went on Regent Street and there was – hundreds of thousands of people dressed in all 32 teams' jerseys. Really cool. Seeing and reminding myself what they go through to watch the games. They're on from 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning to watch primetime games. And these guys do it week after week and just show up and they're so excited.
Yes, it's unironic enjoyment of American-style pro football. And it's weird to me that there's maybe a little bit of a double standard going here. In provincial towns like Pittsburgh and certainly Green Bay, Wisconsin, and so on, obviously everybody roots for the home team. And people want the tickets and they want to go and they want to root on their home team. In places that are more international, where people obviously are more transient, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago to some degree.
Yeah, we're learning that this year, aren't we?
As we see all these fans, that's exactly. You look at that Eagles game, is that necessarily a bad thing? I understand that the Chargers might say, it's tough, a road game every week, but that's not
isn't it? It sucks for the players, but the atmosphere at the stadium is good. Still pretty great.
It's fun. It's neat, I think, legitimately. Right. I think it's kind of fun. When you watch those London games, you just get a sense of life. It's kind of like attending a Super Bowl without the corporate muckety-mucks.
The people having a great time watching a football game.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's kind
no matter the
awesome.
Outcome.
It's a festival atmosphere of the fact that you can be in London and you probably think you're the only Houston Texans fan for miles around, and then you bump into some others and you can have a couple drinks and talk about what it is to be a Texans fan in the UK or whatever. It's cool seeing that.
All right, let's move on.
That was my topic of choice, Dave.
I enjoyed that.
He dismissed
it. Let's make
that
a sponsored segment.
Yeah. Let's,
I think you were roundly dismissed with the way he just transferred.
I did not dismiss. I feel like I'm behind the eight ball.
Well, you are. That's because you were late.
Feel your mate Dave is quite wise.
Dave's lashing out. He's lashing out now.
Considerate leaving the yellow behind.
He's lashing out now.
Check the door.
Cindy Freeland breaks out her
Look at that
accent there.
It's very good, actually. Hers is extremely good, and she doesn't show it off like yours. You spend a lot of time on it, but
I think Dave's accent is great.
I do too.
I'd like to meet this David Henry.
I learned my English accent from Mrs. Doubtfire.
It was a drive-by fruiting.
Come give your mama a kiss, bye-bye, Henry. Before you board your plane.
And I don't know why I do it, but for whatever reason,
when I do my English accent, I get up here.
But when I do my Australian, I get down here. I don't know why. It is odd.
Well, they're from down under. Reaction to it?
Handsome Hank's topic of choice, counted as a weekly feature going forward, as long as Handsome is within Studio 66 and not overseas on the second podcast each week. We'll do that. I like that. All right, next up, do we want to go into the Red Challenge flag picks, MVP? We have to pick the big games, but I also love hearing in from Cindy and from Matt Money Smith, a little less so, on college football. The biggest games of the weekend, West Virginia and Texas Christian are getting it on. How do you see that one playing out there, Cindy?
Whew, West Virginia.
Totally disagree.
Really? Because?
Yeah. I mean, Kenny Hill's a good quarterback. He's playing well. I love Gary. I like both of these head coaches, Holgorsen and Patterson, two totally different head coaches. Holgorsen's hilarious. If you ever come across him, the head coach.
In a crazy way, though.
Well, it's just, he truly does have like 600 napkins that he has drawn up plays on. And he'll tell you stories. Oh, yeah, I came up with that one. I remember I was at Eaton in Kansas City, and I drew that one up. I was at a Black Angus. And it's just – it's and whereas Gary Patterson is kind of your standard, like – crazy football coach. Like when you get around him, he's got that crazy look in his eye. Oh, and I'll tell you, I saw that defensive end come flying off the edge, and oh, I got excited. You're just like, jeez, get me out of this room. He's going to break something. I just, you know, I look at TCU. They have one of the best rush defense. I think they do have the top rush defense in the Big 12. And, you know, that's what West Virginia wants to do is run the heck out of the ball. I figure they slow it down, and I'll take TCU.
Next up, a former classic game in the autumn, the Miami Canes and the Florida State Seminoles. Now a little under the radar, but it feels like
they're undefeated,
it's possibly back. This is the restoration of a great rivalry.
Could the Canes win the Coastal for the first time? And I don't know how long. It's been a while. Cindy, you want to start? I'll start. Doesn't matter.
You start with this one.
I mean, Malik Rozier's playing good. You know, I like Mark Richt. I think Georgia was stupid to fire him, but I get it.
No, they weren't. You know, how can you make that case at this point with the Dogs putting 41 on the Vols in Knoxville? They're going to fall off?
Yes.
They're not going to get the double digits?
The Vols are terrible.
I understand.
They are terrible.
I'm surprised to hear you say that legitimately, given that the Dogs look like, maybe now.
It's early. And how many times have we been through this with Rick, right? When they start out strong and then they lose to Alabama or they lose to LSU and they're like, we got to get rid of this guy. And he's a good coach. He's a great recruiter. You know, Georgia gets great players. And look, it's tough to win in the SEC when you got to deal with Alabama and, you know, in an SEC championship game year after year. But beyond that, I mean, obviously you lose Francois in the opening week, but their offensive line has been wrecked. I mean, they barely beat Wake Forest last week. I don't know. They scored that touchdown, in the final 45 seconds or something?
Do it, money.
I'm taking the Canes.
Canes.
Oh, yeah, taking Canes the Canes.
Okay, Canes, this would be the seven. They have a seven-game deficit to Florida State.
Yeah, they've lost their last seven
just
in a row.
So, to put it in a little bit of context, and I think this
– that's what ends a rivalry is when one side seizes control of it and doesn't let the other one up. But I think the Canes have it this time.
I saw a lot against Duke. So, their defense looked great against Duke.
Oh, they crushed them.
Right. MVP, you don't like you don't want the college football talk? You want to move on?
No, I do.
Pro football talk?
It's okay.
Also,
you can move on.
Also,
why did you think she didn't want it?
Because she just said in my ear, MVP, this is – you know – no bigger fan of Emma VP than I.
Nope. I know two people are
Emma, that's
fans.
A tough precursor.
Cindy Freeland's about to claim Emma VP.
I don't think she is. I think
Mary Ann Freeland.
Yep.
Nobody's a bigger fan of Emma VP than Mary Ann Freeland.
Love Mary Ann.
We might be even, but she's not a bigger fan than I am.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, Emma VP, knock on Emma VP is that she's loath to get on the microphone. She doesn't like talking on the microphone.
Right.
You know, and that to me is
Instead of just in your ears, you want the people listening to know what it is that you're dealing with.
Out loud.
If she has an issue, speak up. Cam Newton? I don't want to hear from you.
I would like to point out that part of the reason why I said West Virginia, although Texas Christian, if you look at the rankings, they're ranked a lot higher.
I had a little feeling that money, you didn't like the way he dismissed you.
That's okay.
Totally disagree.
This is what we do. But
money just about laughed. I think it's just funny to hear a girl
funny
pick
to hear
ECU.
You pick against me.
Or funny to hear a girl pick the Mountaineers. That's what he said. Basically. No, go ahead, Cindy.
That's a direct quote, actually.
I think this is one of my upset alert picks based on the – just keep it in mind.
Stanford, woo! Utah, Pac-12 action. Cindy Freeland, choose.
It's really hard for me to pick against Stanford. I've been trying to see if there's any way, like Utah, like I just in every way that I've run it, I can't. I think Stanford by probably a touchdown.
Whew. I wonder, though, do you feel like have we seen the best out of this Stanford era now? Is this it? Are they realistically are not going to be back in a position where they were with Kevin Hogan and Andrew Luck certainly before that. Their shot was –
Hogan was such a surprise.
But
I think that's what it was. It was such a surprise.
They should have gotten their shot in the national title game. Yes. What was that, 6 years ago or so with Andrew Luck? Or Oklahoma State. Either one would have been fine. The nonsense of Bama getting to play LSU again because their kicker missed two field goals as though that didn't count in the game. Well, he missed two field goals or else we would have won that. Well, but he missed the two field goals.
That happened.
I don't know if you heard about the Chargers' first two games. The kid missed the two kicks. Those count as losses. I don't know what you want me to tell. But anyway, yes, I feel like that was probably their best shot as an
NFL. I mean, I have a bias for Utah. I
know
do.
You do.
I love Kyle Whittingham. I love Rice-Eccles Stadium. It's angry. And, you know, And look, the Utah teams, the Utes, BYU, Utah State, they're tough because they have a lot of older guys that have a little more dad strength. You know, they've gone on their missions. Some of them are married. They have families.
Boy, that is such a fascinating
23
point.
Years old. And that's, oh, man, Utah's always physical. Well, hell yes, they're physical. Their guys are 23 and 24 a lot of times.
Boy, that's a great point that I've never considered.
Right.
Somehow that's eluded me.
So that's why game, Stanford-Utah, when they do end up facing off, is always exciting for me because it's similar styles.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's physical versus physical. Bryce Love is unreal. Like, you know, and it keeps happening. You know, you lose Toby Gerhart, and you're like, well, they won't respond. You know,
right.
They won't be able to overcome. Oh, here's Gaffney, you know, and then he leaves, and it's like, oh, well, you know, oh, it's Christian McCaffrey. And then you're like, oh, the guy broke Barry Sanders' yards from scrimmage record. And Bryce Love had 300 yards in one game and 260 in another and leads the NCAA in rushing. They just know how to run the ball. It's weird because Keller Crist, whose dad is, you know, a very well-known coordinator, was supposed to be the next great quarterback, and he just hasn't been great, you know. And it just so happened that he got hurt in that game against UCLA, and Costello came out and just started freaking slinging the ball all over the place and converting third downs, and the offense looked whole. So I don't know who starts at quarterback for them this week. I haven't really looked to see what the deal is on his injury, but it's going to be a tight game, and I think because it's in Utah, I'll lean.
Although,
you know what? They have quarterback problems, so I think Williams.
Do.
Yeah, Williams is back there. I think maybe still because Huntley got hurt. You know what? I'll take Stanford. I forgot about that.
College football. And by the way, if college football ain't your thing or if the game doesn't please you, we have not one, not two, but three offerings of the NFL Pick'em Show. Watch it or else you'll make Emma VP sad because she works on it during the week. It airs Emma VP. Let me see if I can get this right.
Speak, Emma. Speak.
It airs at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Okay.
11 a.m. Eastern.
No,
sorry, 2
that's wrong.
2 p.m.
Aha.
Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern. Wow. That's 6 a.m. Eastern on Sunday.
Not even.
Let's do it again. 9 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern, all on Saturday, then Sunday if you need some last-minute help. 6
you know
a.m. Eastern.
Yep. I don't get it.
Also, for that, if you ever want to – we just find physical challenges with that. So if you ever want to ask us to do a good physical challenge.
No, here's...
I know Dave's really good at the splits.
Tell you, Cindy sandbagged it. We do physical challenges right at the end of each pick'em program. And I said, let's see who can kick our leg up the highest. And then and she said, oh, well, watch what I can do. And she barely got it above her waist. And I thought, I might actually beat Cindy Freeland at this. And then when it was go time.
She suckered you.
Then it was go time. She kicked that thing up over her head. It was crazy.
But so can I. When we
Is that true?
When we did the Matt Money Smith song, if you ever watched that
high
video,
kicks.
My high kick is incredibly impressive. I'm willing to do it right here, right now.
Let's
do it.
Done. Go ahead. Right, take the headphones
right, here we go.
Off.
Okay.
While they do that, I'll fill here while they're getting set up.
You play by play.
We're Cynthia, I think you're going out there too.
Oh, yeah.
This is a competition.
Yeah.
You know
you're gonna hit the lights. That's how high up your foot's gonna kick.
This is genuinely a. Oh, and by the way,
wait, before you go,
Handsome Hank is in some Levi dungarees that are pretty tight. Cynthia Freeland, though, her jeans are so tight that they're form fitting. You know, I think those are gonna give her a little bit more flexibility.
Money with the analysis. I like it. Wait. All right, we're seeing who can kick their leg up the highest here in Studio 66 during
I'm gonna have
DDFP.
I'm going to have to stand up here, Dave, to try to get like a
good luck, Handsome Hank.
So I'm going to try to just kind of
take it away, Matt Money Smith.
All right, I'm going to get my geometry on and just see if I can get a degree of angle as to what angle the leg will be at. All right, first up on my left, as they move left to right, it'll be Hank on the left, Cynthia on the right. We are checking to see whose high kick will in fact go the highest.
Money, we did have a chance to sit down and share some time with Handsome Hank earlier today. He said that he really feels refreshed after some time with his mom over in the UK.
He did say that. And you know what else we saw, Dave, is a chip on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who feels as though he has been disrespected. He said, all I need is one good quad stretch, and you're going to see me knock out a light here, which he very well might now that I'm looking at him. He does look a little flexible.
Looks like he's ready to go.
All right, looks like he's ready to go in his chukka boots. Here we go. Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, whoa. That... if we can slow-mo that was darn near knee to the nipple. That thing was so high.
I really appreciate that he's giving us his own slow motion play there. Now it's Cindy Freeland from the Detroit, Michigan area.
Man, that is
you're from the area.
That is East Lansing. There we go. You're welcome. You know, there's more than one city out there in Michigan. So let's get you rolling here. Cynthia Freeland in 3-inch heeled boots, form-fitting jeans, and a Dave Damashek-esque flannel. Whoa.
It's just funny. I can't call that one. That was pretty close.
Yeah, and we'll see the problem. Cynthia, if you wouldn't mind, could we get you to turn this way so I can – no, I don't want to see you straight on. There you go. I've got to get it from the side view. So if you can just kind of give me a profile so I can – yeah, perfect. I want to try to get the angle here because I got to see Hank. And like I said, Hank's I'm going to say Hank put his kneecap on his nipple there. That's how good his high kick was. Okay,
I got to tell you, Money, I've been watching who can kick their leg up high competitions, you know, for decades now.
And
I haven't seen a man, you know, with Handsome Hank's kind of length put a leg up so high in some time.
It's a long lever.
I don't know if I've ever seen it since Reggie Roby.
That is a long lever. You got to move on the body of Hank, all right? All right, Cynthia, I'm ready for a profile shot here.
Wow.
Well, we're going to have to go to the video because that's just too close to call. Too close to call for me. I think we're all surprised by Handsome Hank's submission. he was a decided underdog.
Can I tell you something? To answer a question posed many decades ago by one Al Michaels after watching Handsome Hank, yes, I do believe in miracles. All right, so now let's move on to this.
Wait, I just need to give myself one more little shine. One, check. Ahead. Were you impressed that I managed to do the full splits in our Pick'em show?
I said, you don't seem very flexible, and so she
responded
by going into the full splits. It was quite a thing.
On command.
In jeans?
In jeans.
Impressive.
Now, speaking of talent, everybody thought the New York Giants were talented going into this season. They thought they would be a lot of people. I think they were probably the chief pick to win the NFC East if the Cowboys weren't.
I picked them to do that.
Yeah, you did. Right. I said the Eagles. That one's looking a little bit better. The Giants now 0-4. So, too, are Phil Rivers and the Chargers 0-4. If the Giants lose this week, Cindy, I'm going to start with you on this one. If they lose at home, they won't because a head coach isn't going to say, hey, guys, let's start losing on purpose. But should they do what a lot of people thought the Jets were doing in the run-up to the season and basically start playing for that top overall pick to replace Eli?
No.
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 Because?
That's – if you're saying that a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback who is not 40-something, right? Like he's not, you know, 27, but he's not 40 or whatever, you know, and I'm not taking a shot at Tom Brady. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying like – it's not – if you don't surround him with an O-line that can keep him protected and you don't give him at least some semblance of a running game, how are you – it's not Eli Manning's fault.
Like, okay.
I just think that's a kind of a ridiculous argument because if you're saying that you're going to, you know, the whatever the equivalent of suck for luck is, you know, like
– I guess I'm not suggesting that they properly from, you know, from personnel on down start, you know, giving away.
How much money they have invested in their defense? Like – they're giving up a lot more points per game, and that's an expensive defense.
Got it. It's sort of like the Jaguars in 2017. They are playoff ready, save potentially the quarterback position. You don't think that the Giants? You don't think that the Giants, if they are in the top, let's say top two picks, you don't think they will spend one of those two?
If I'm the Giants,
Rosen or Darnold, whoever's left over.
If I'm the Giants and I'm in one of the top 3-4 picks, even 5 even, I make some great deals with a team who actually need a quarterback. And
to
then
keep
I get a
Eli
ton of
starting
equity.
Quarterback.
Yeah, I get a ton of equity. I'm like, you know what? Instead of this one pick at number 3, I'm going to take like a pick at number 22, a pick at number, you know what I mean, 37. And just say, you know, I'm going to get more picks here and add to my line, add to my running back depth.
It affects the fans is what it does.
I get
that. The fans just would assume you start losing and losing a lot.
But you
know, but they just don't.
But you're really
I'm not
say,
realistic.
You know
I'm sorry,
what?
I'm taking it back. I don't mean intentionally.
But no, I know exactly
I'm
what you mean.
I'm saying too.
Does their mindset saying. Then become this is our last season with Eli
going
Manning
into the offseason, are you looking to change?
I think I said a couple weeks ago, I think the conversation about whether Eli should be starting will happen
You did say that.
At some point in the next few weeks. And I'm not saying that it's a good idea to start sitting him, but I think that conversation.
Any quarterback in a New York market that's not winning, that's the conversation. Right. Any quarterback in a big market like that is going to have so much extra scrutiny. But we're not, you know, and even Andy Dalton in Cincinnati with those first two games, they can't score a touchdown, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's like, should they bench him? Is it now time for A.J. McCarron to take over? Like, all of these things. So, to me, it's a little, let's be, like, think of a real strategy. Right, I know you're calling for Reese's job as a GM of the Giants. Earlier.
Who I am?
Way to go, Dave!
About I
didn't now you're firing
a couple
guys.
Weeks ago, I think he says.
Merry well, Christmas, by the way.
By the way, it is crazy that you. I mean, listen. I first of all, I rarely do I call for anyone's job. I didn't call
I
for
kidding,
Reese's job.
Just,
now, what I did say is, it is in hindsight kind of loco that they went an entire offseason knowing. Yeah, we think Eric Flowers is going to round into shape without a backup plan there. They had no secondary idea of what we were going to do if he doesn't round into shape, and now this is the season they're having.
It's fair.
I didn't say he should be fired for that.
I know. I actually put those words into your mouth, I'll admit it, but I thought it was funnier anyways. But anyways, so I think that if you're thinking about a real strategy for success, it's about getting more pieces that really are working together, right? You have if you're saying that the problem's Eli, I'm sure there's 20 other teams. You want that problem taken care of? We got this one.
No, but given that these things aren't mutually exclusive, the defense is getting paid right now, and those pieces are not going to be there in 2 years. Do you then say, you know what? Let's reboot at the sport's most important position. Let's get Rosen or Darnold and start in an entire new era. And maybe Eli's there to groom him for a month or two.
And
or
what school is Jerry Reese from? A Corsi, right? What is a Corsi's famous statement? You need two things to win at football: quarterbacks and players that can get to the quarterback. So, as Cynthia detailed, they spent a lot of money on players that can get to the quarterback. When you think about Olivier Vernon and JPP on both sides, the one logical move they would make is that, hey, we've got a 36-year-old quarterback who is certainly on the tail end of his career. He is no longer in his prime. Do we know the next time we're going to be in this position if, in fact, Darnold,
yeah, exactly,
you know,
right.
Josh Allen or Josh Rosen are there? I think that's a perfectly logical question to ask. And I think any team – I mean, look, the Chiefs just did it. And they're about – you know, they're 4-0 right now. But they recognized, hey, we like this guy, you know, and we're going to jump up to get him because Alex Smith, as good as he's been for us – is not that young any longer, and we don't know if he's going to be able to win a Super Bowl here, so we might as well take our chance while we have it.
Handsome.
The other question that I think they'll ask is, do we have the coach? So they, you know, Coughlin went, McAdoo was bumped up from offensive coordinator. Do they believe 2 years into that, because it's not necessarily a two-year assessment, which you might consider too soon for a coach if they were entirely new, because he wasn't new to the organization. Do they really believe this is the guy to be leading that team?
Yeah, and then now let's go.
And it's a plum job, right? If the Giants job comes
for
open,
sure.
Think
all of a sudden,
the pick of whoever is available.
It's not the people. It's not the teams that you would have expected on either coast, but the two biggest markets in the U.S. of A. suddenly could have in a year from now, or even around the draft, it could be the storyline. Could be, hey, Manhattan is about to get one of the two blue chip QBs, right, and LA is going to get the other one, right, because if the Chargers
lose one of these teams
game,
is going to be 0-5.
If the Chargers lose this game and they're 0-5, it makes all the world in the all the sense in the world to say, you know what? We've taken this thing with 17 as far as we're going to. Who wants 17? Jacksonville.
And we can grab a quarterback who played his college football in the same town, and therefore, you know, as you look to build your profile in L.A., doesn't it make sense to
grab I'll tell you, with guys? The way, you know, I always hate – I feel like a little bit like we hang money out a little bit.
It's okay.
The voice
Let's hang
of the
him
chart.
Out.
It's okay.
You've not trying to hang him out, but –
You've been trying to hang
I
him out
say
all day.
This. If you – I know NFL trades in the middle of the season, especially with quarterbacks who actually you would intend to start, that trades like that almost never, if ever, have happened. I can't think of
never
one
ever.
That's happened. But that being said, just for in the name of fun and whimsy, if the Chargers do go to 0-5, What about mid? Why not pick up the phone? Hey, Jax, we got a guy you can plug in right now. You will be much better served with 17 under center the rest of the season. You'll make a playoff run, and then that you really own. Like, all right, this season is not going to go well for the Chargers, but on the other side, Chargers fans, we're going to land one of those two local kids. And how great a boon would that be to the L.A. market to have either Darnold or Rosen, whichever one you deem like. Because he's an L.A. kid. Because it would be one of the two L.A. guys taking over.
Why do you need to trade Phillip Rivers to do that?
Because that justifies, like, it doesn't then make a difference what Anthony Lynn is saying.
I guess the answer is because then he can win you games. And right. You don't want Phillip Rivers. You
Philly
know.
Boy's going to steal you
a couple of games. Just look at the game last week, right? You know, it looked like they were a mess, and then all of a sudden Rivers just goes nuts, you know, and it's a two-point game, and it's a two-point, and he throws for 350 yards and two scores, and they're knocking on the door, and the defense just can't hold the Eagles. I would think that's why you
I
would
love
do it.
Those narratives. Are,
yeah.
The
one,
fun.
I think the one trick, you know, and is football's just so different. You know, you can do it in the NBA, you can do it in baseball, but because football, the physical sacrifice that men make, you just can't do it,
right.
You know, and that's why you end up with number one picks, you know, being shifted over the last 3 weeks, and fan bases are like, oh.
You mean the betrayal from the proletariat looking upwards to the bourgeoisie saying, we understand you're just trying to.
But look what we're going to do.
We're toiling every day. Yeah. We're knocking ourselves out. You can't leave us without a quarterback. That's what you mean by
that's
that?
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
I know, but then
old Lequalesa over here with the proletariat bourgeoisie.
Shouldn't, but by that standard.
No, what I'm saying
if the Jags lose, but legitimately, if the Jags lose this week in Pittsburgh, wouldn't they?
You mean if the Jags lose and the Chargers lose, isn't that a call considering Phillip Rivers is from West Alabama?
Right.
Jacksonville's right there.
That would make sense.
They're a court, you know, if you believe in your defense and Leonard Fournette, you believe you are a quarterback away. Right. And you would get a legitimate Hall of Fame.
Well, by the way, with the Jags, by your logic, don't the Jaguars? Shouldn't the players
owe it to the rest of their team?
Like, hey man, look, we're ready to go here. You see what the QB's doing? He's scuttling playoff season for us. You know,
look,
can't they do the same thing?
This never happens in the NFL. So this is just
I know. Well, they could sign Colin Kaepernick. That's a reasonable move they could make.
Oh, man. But again, I think that still speaks to just plugging a quarterback into a brand new system on week five. I mean, that just rarely goes well. You know, you don't normally see someone that's not been in a system that knows the terminology, that has a relationship with his receivers and the O-line. Like, there's just so, especially Kaepernick, someone who's not a traditional drop-back passer, where now you're blocking skill. Like, so much has to be altered if Kaepernick's going to flourish like he did. Now, look, he may be a different quarterback. You bring him in, but if you bring in Kaepernick, the way he was great at Nevada and with Jim Harbaugh was what? He ran the pistol, you know, and he was lightning quick, and he had those long strides and that giant arm, and he's running those seam routes with Vernon Davis, you know. And now you've got a team that's like, okay, can we recreate that with the bunch we have? And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
The offensive line isn't as good as the Niners was, but you have that hammer-style running back to work it with. That would be great.
But see, yeah, and the interesting thing with Rivers is he is much more comfortable operating out of the shotgun than under center. Yeah. So that's not necessarily great for Leonard Fournette. I mean, you should have a guy under center with Fournette 7 yards deep in the backfield ready to bring that hammer into that hole. And here it comes. Try to slow it down. And Kaepernick doesn't necessarily work. It would never happen, but it is.
I know. It's
a phone call that
about.
Should happen, right?
It's
if the Chargers are 0-5 right. And the Jaguars' defense plays great and Bortles throws a back-breaking pick in the fourth quarter to lose a game, yes, that is a
MVP,
call that should happen.
That would be a good bit we should do. It's like a what-if kind of thing. It's like an NFL, like how it
NFL.
Should go. Like here's what the response should be. I don't know. Well, let's work on that. Anyway,
NFL.
It's time now for the headline event of every week in front of the games. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Hey.
Another one.
You've missed a lot, Hanson.
I really like it.
No, you don't.
If you want to come up with your own little.
No, you don't.
I'd like to think.
You didn't like it, Hank. I saw it in your face. You were like, no. That was stupid.
No, it wasn't. It surprised me. That was a look of surprise. Let's try it again, and I'll add mine.
Okay. You want to go first, second, third? Where do you want to get into this mix?
You tell me. I mean, you guys, you clearly came up with this. Where do you want me?
Wherever you want.
All right, now, handsome. Now your fair's fair. Money, Cindy. Then you have to tag. Ready? Here we go. One more time.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Hey,
another one.
Woo.
Okay. There we go.
All right, here
we go.
Like that?
Yeah,
MVP, she leads the way. She tells us what's coming up TV style. You know when you go on your DVR or whatever and it gives you that little summary of what the episode's about to be? That's what MVP does for every football game that we're about to pick here. This week, it's the sitcom edition. We started off in Heinz Field, Jacksonville. Steelers, tell us about it, MVP.
All right, this episode is called Boye Meets World. Nervous about his first time lining up against the Steelers wideouts, Jalen Ramsey asks A.J. Boye to join his study group so the two can best prepare for anything outside the box, as well as Big Ben's affinity for multiple choice. Hayward and Dupree realize they're both crushing on the same QB. Ryan Shazier forgets to pack himself a pregame shirt for the fifth week in a row.
It's one of those tweener sitcoms that my kids like to watch on Disney X or whatever it's called.
XD.
XD. Yeah, very nicely
They're really
done.
Terrible, aren't they?
Either way, Cindy Freeland, Jaguars, Steelers.
Steelers.
Anyone? No one's going to be brave?
No.
What do you mean, come
brave.
On?
Brave.
This week's games are
crazy.
The Jags
are going to get housed.
They are Money and I, Money and I, Maurice and I, for the Pick'em show, we already shot it. We did our little confidence pool picks. You know how that works. Mm-hmm. That you the game that you're most sure of the outcome, you give your 16. The one you're least sure of, probably this week, that would be the Browns and the Jets getting it on. You would probably be unsure who's going to win, so that would get your lowest number on that. Anyway, if you look at this batch of games for Week 5,
pretty darn even.
Good luck trying to figure out what your 16 game is. Is it the Steelers at home against the Jags? The Jags have dominated some teams so
16,
far.
16, yeah. I think 16 is certainly Steelers.
But this is the good week.
Steelers or Eagles? One of those two.
The Eagles are my 16 pick at home against Carson Palmer. That's a recipe for disaster for Carson Palmer. The
He's
turnover
been terrible
machine,
this year, by the way.
Against Malcolm Jenkins in a dynamic defense, they're in trouble. But yes, the Steelers specifically. Well, go ahead, Money. Why don't you try to make sense? Have you guys not noticed that the Jags have on this on the 2017 roller coaster? This is their week to be good.
It is.
Well, that's right, but they're on the wrong side of the pond.
Yes,
the pond.
And they are in Pittsburgh. And for you know, we talked about this on our on the pod a little bit earlier today. The other pod, the Game Theory podcast.
Free money.
Tell me if I'm wrong in this. I said I feel like there is a national dismissal of the Steelers defense because of the Lev Bell holdout. Because Big Ben is always a lightning rod, and Antonio Brown is acting up like very. Very casually, the Steelers' defense has been completely dominant this season. And when you tell me that a dominant defense at home is going to be going up against Blake Bortles, yeah, go ahead and give me that. Give me that team that offers that up.
I agree with you relative to what one would define as dominant in the 20-teens as we are. I guess they would fit that description. I mean, they've gotten gashed a little bit on the road in the last – I mean, early on.
In Baltimore.
Well, listen, even Alex Collins had his way. The few times they handed him the ball, the Steelers didn't have much of an answer there. But, yes, what they can do is if they're right, and no team is in perfect health, certainly by the end of the year. But, I mean, listen, you go Hargrave, Hayward, and Tuitt up front,
exactly.
And Shazier. And if T.J. Watt can make any kind of contributions along with Bud Dupree.
You can afford to have an okay secondary that up front.
But the talent back there is not mediocre.
That's what I mean.
Sean Davis is for real. Joe Hayden, if he's anything close to right, we know what he is. Artie Burns in his second year. Ike Taylor will tell you that the issue for that secondary is tackling. Not a small matter, obviously.
A big part of football.
But I'm kind of with you that yes, and I think they will get stronger as a group as the season goes along. I'll take the Steelers, but I mean the idea that everybody's kind of like, well, obviously the Steelers are going to take. Not I don't mean just in 66. The conversations I've had this week, the Jags can dominate you on defense.
We saw it happen two weeks ago. But they can dominate on defense, and I think that was an underplayed part of their win over the Ravens in London. Was everyone was looking at the fact that for once Blake Bortles had a decent day. But actually, it was the defense that really shot.
Against probably the worst offense
in the
NFL.
Probably the worst offense.
Save the Cleveland Browns, maybe.
And the Miami Dolphins.
And the Miami Dolphins.
Put them up there.
Yeah, that's right.
We talked about quarterbacks earlier. I mean, the personification of bemusing QB for an organization. The personification of Well, we got to hold on to what we have. He just won that Super Bowl for us. He ran the table against the Patriots and Broncos and the night. We have to keep the guy. And all these years later, you're sort of like, I mean, he's Joe Flacco. He's not that good. He can't carry us anywhere. Save that one magical stretch. He's not capable of carrying our – to covering up any deficiencies we have anywhere else in offense.
It's true.
That's what he's supposed to do, though. You have to have him. You can't get rid of him.
Yand is more important than Flacco. Apparently. I would have guessed.
You can now, though. I think we're far enough removed from that moment in time where I think they will spend this offseason considering exactly that.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, they do have Ryan Mallett, who I always hold a soft spot for. Listen. All right. Cindy Freeland made a face like something smelled bad when I said that.
Ryan Mallett.
Wow. Listen, I you know what? I like the guys that look like quarterbacks, and he does. Nobody's got an arm like that.
Yeah. So does Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco looks like a quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, let's move on then. MVP, tell us about a big NFC West
game. About that, huh?
In Los Angeles?
Bragging rights.
All right, Seahawks versus Rams. This episode's called Laverne and Gurley.
MVP, back on track.
Well done.
Thank you. Sean McVay convinces Gurley to join the Rushing Leaders of America Club to score points with his L.A. Falcons and build up a well-rounded resume for his future contract applications. Eddie Lacy admits to Carroll that perhaps they rushed into this whole thing. Goff promises Cup that he'll pay him a pizza and friendship if he helps him move across the field this weekend.
Pizza
These are
friendship.
Great. Listen, do a solid for Emma VP. Go on NFL.com and or follow her, Emma
Definitely.
8193, and click into her piece so that more people get to read it.
It's also at NFL.com/TV Guide.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wow.
Easy. That was good. I don't mind telling you, Handsome, you missed a little bit of ugliness last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, Emma had, what was her one pun? Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
You guys didn't like Sleepy in Seattle.
Oh, Sleepy in Seattle.
Yeah, Dave attacked her for Sleepy in Seattle.
And Money got after her for that.
A little lazy.
Money just said, that was a little lazy on your part, right. Emma. We expect more out of you.
He might be projecting.
Yeah. I think Dave was the one that said that. Look, Dave dismissed it, and I pointed out that you were attacking her.
Money gave some tough love to MVP, not unlike Andy Reid gave to Alex Smith, and look how MVP, like Alex Smith, has responded this week.
Right. But did you bring in a young buck to stand behind Emma to sort of push her to be better?
I think that's exactly what Money did, if I am seeing things through the grass.
Money did.
I mean, you know. I didn't like what Money did on a personal level, but I admired it.
Yeah,
I
respected it. Now you've seen what the results are.
All right, let's go to Matt Money Smith here. Seahawks.
Just shake your head now.
Seahawks, Rams, the Chiefs.
I feel like there's got to be at least one coming at my chest. Here we go.
Chest.
You have one of those?
Seahawks. There's one.
You missed, Handsome.
Well, I didn't want to.
Cindy Freeland?
She's with me.
You're taking the Hawks? Damashek's taking the Hawks, too. Handsome, explain yourself.
Handsome.
Well, you said that these were a bunch of tough games. I thought this was the hardest one of the whole week. Because some of those other ones.
It's up there.
Some of those other ones are kind of very close, but there's one team that probably...
Well, when you have two bum teams, bum team is going to be less bummy on a given week?
I think that the Rams, I just haven't seen enough. I guess you've seen that the Rams can put points up. You've seen that offense, you know, all of a sudden with the addition of Sammy Watkins, tough to
number one scoring offense in the league.
Right, it's tough to work out who you're going to take away. You take away Todd Gurley, you try and take away one of those receivers. There's three guys who Jared Goff is obviously extremely comfortable with. The offensive line is playing a lot better than anyone expected it to, which is kind of surprising because it hasn't. You know, the pieces are relatively similar to
except for Whitworth.
Love Whitworth.
Yeah.
And so I think they can continue to put up points, and I'm not sure who the Seahawks can say, okay, we will take away one of these three guys, and Cooper Kupp still eats, or you take away Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins. It's tough to slow them down. And equally, I haven't seen anything from the Seahawks that makes me think, yeah, they can put up points in big.
It's numbers. So true. I'm being
except
purely...
for 400 yards in two games in a row.
Well, right. I do think that offense has been explosive in stretches. It's not like it every possession.
Where's your running game?
You feel, well, I'm straight up being a resume snob on this one. I keep going, Rams. Let's see you do it for a little bit longer than a month here.
And they've played the Seahawks historically well.
They do, exactly. That's
5-5. But this is – this.
And no Cliff Avril, by the way.
No
that's
Cliff
no
Avril.
Small matter.
That's a big one. The one thing that I just saw the last couple of weeks with the Seahawks is if you have an elite quarterback – sooner or later, that elite quarterback's like, hey, enough, all right? I'll put it on my shoulders. Let's go win some games. We're way too good to have this record or drop the car or play the way we've been playing. And that's just what I've seen from Russell Wilson these last couple weeks.
I love it. Detour from game picking. Let's talk about that for 1 second here. Is Russell Wilson the most underappreciated or I don't know how to say under – valued or whatever.
He is never included in the conversation.
Why do people not – people think – I don't even understand the when people say system quarterback with Russell Wilson. No. He's the antithesis of everything. Everything is about the system breaking. I mean, he's great in the play action, rollout, and everything else, but I feel like he's
a pro-style quarterback. I mean, he broke Phillip Rivers' record at NC State running a pro-style set. He went to the University of Wisconsin and ran a pro-style system as a captain.
Who's more undervalued, Cindy Freeland, at quarterback in the NFL right now?
More undervalued than Russell Wilson? Maybe Phillip Rivers.
You think so? Still at this point? You know what you also deserve kudos for underappreciated category? This summer, you and I sat here in 66, and you compared Matt Stafford to Ben Roethlisberger, and the majority of the world went crazy. How dare you talk such talk with Matt Stafford? He's another one that kind of, I feel like, is a little undervalued. But Russell Wilson is the gold standard of that.
He's been to two Super Bowls. He won one, and he nearly won a second
the same
one.
Thing, but it is the same thing as Roethlisberger. Oh, that was the defense that got them.
It was a great defense, but this is –
at some point, you have to make plays.
At the same time, though, he's not a quarterback that is dinking and dunking. I mean, he's someone that pushes the ball down.
Right.
And by the way, for all the celebration we give Tom Brady for he's done it with a whole lot of nothing. Okay, Russell Wilson's receiving core is what? Hey, Doug Baldwin, who was, what, an undrafted free agent? Okay, Jermaine Kearse.
And a garbage offensive line year
after
year.
Well, that's what I was going to point out. So the thing that's interesting about Russell Wilson for me is the fact that not all pressures are created equal. Like, yeah, we have a pressure metric, and it's kind of you draw an arbitrary line that it's like anytime a defender comes within 2 yards of the offensive player, then it's pressure. But there's a difference between, like, a fast sack and, like, someone coming kind of 2 yards from you. Like, let's call it, like, bad pressure versus, like, just regular old pressure. And Russell Wilson, especially the past 2 years, just because those are the 2 years that I focus on with my models, he's gotten a lot of bad pressure, like the kind that just comes at you, you can't see, it's around your back, like, and you have no time. So the O-line is part of that. The question marks in the running game is the other part of that. The question marks of, like, Jimmy Graham hasn't really turned out to be the when Jimmy Graham was
when
he was asking
that,
to be franchise tagged as a wide receiver. Remember? So that's not, you know, when he was in, obviously that wasn't when he was in New Orleans, but those things haven't translated. And every single quarterback is a system quarterback. I don't think there's a single quarterback out there that's not a system quarterback.
By the way, and the way I kind of look at it is in broader strokes, name for me the QBs in a big game. The fate of the planet hangs in the balance. Name for me all the QBs that you would rather have than Russell Wilson under center, knowing nothing else about the personnel that's going to be out there. I mean, after Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and maybe Ben Roethlisberger at this point, I don't know. Why do you laugh at that?
I think that's a good tipping point.
I think I take Russell over Roethlisberger. I think about it, but I think I take Wilson over Roethlisberger.
I think Russell Wilson would be three.
Yeah,
right?
Today with the mobility, yeah.
If you're rating the quarterbacks in the NFL, is Russell Wilson,
I'll take I'll take Breeze over.
That's what I was about to
say.
The only person in a big game?
Yes.
I'd take Wilson and Breeze over Roethlisberger.
There are a lot of conditions you can put around Drew Breeze that'll limit him. Like no roof over his
or
He doesn't like roof. He doesn't like not having a roof over his head.
How often do we play a Super Bowl without a roof, though?
Fair enough these days.
But I guess my point for all of those, and even those quarterbacks that you mentioned, given the wrong situation, they could have all turned out to be someone completely different, not on our list. I don't think without the development and the developmental capacity for Brady, for Aaron Rodgers, for all of those quarterbacks that we mentioned that even potentially – like up there, Roethlisberger, everything, though they had good conditions to become excellent quarterbacks. It wasn't like you threw them out there day one and they're like I mean, like, even Deshaun Watson's having a really nice start, but like, it's going to, the speed of the game is not the same versus every defense. And I think you're going to see all quarter. Like, I just, no one ever tell me that someone's a system quarterback again. That drives me crazy.
Oh, I love how neatly you led us into our next game. MVP, tell us about Deshaun Watson's Texans hosting Alex Smith's Chiefs.
All right. This episode is called Will Fuller House. Deshaun Watson steps in when he realizes Will Fuller has gotten caught up with the wrong crowd, explaining that Marcus Peters is just using it for his own gains. Kareem Hunt is thrilled to be invited over J.J. Watt's house for a playdate, but is disappointed to find they have opposite interests. Travis Kelce accidentally gets his hand stuck in a glove, and it becomes a whole thing.
Well done.
Very nice, Emma VP.
Well done, Emma.
Very good.
Handsome Hank, yeah, that's a strong one. This is
they're all strong.
See,
thank you.
I mean, I don't mind telling you again, with Alex Smith's name just being invoked there, Coach Matt Money Smith knew how to light a fire. It's not just one size fits all kind of coaching from Matt Money Smith. He said, "I understand my player MVP. I know what she needs to be pushed to optimal performance."
You are making me out to be a villain, and I recognize it.
I think that's great.
I recognize
it. You know what? You know what? It was hard to watch money, but I can't argue with the results. So I guess I tip my hat to you begrudgingly. All right, Handsome Hank, Chiefs.
When you snatched that burrito out of her hand and said, "You will not eat."
That was not that, – I mean, to me, that was like, why even did that money? Like, let her eat at least, for goodness sakes. All right. Chiefs, Texans, choose.
The Houston Texans are going to take the Chiefs' undefeated record.
I think you're getting a red flag. One and two from Money and Cindy. I'm with you,
not
Handsome.
You. Oh,
no,
thank
no
you,
I like the Texans. You know that. Explain yourself, Money.
All right. Deshaun Watson's a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks do not dominate the league week in and week out. They just don't. They end up having highs and lows. And as good as Deshaun Watson is, he went into Foxborough. We now know that defense is terrible. Absolutely terrible. We saw what Cam was able to do and the Panthers were able to do. They are averaging allowing 460 yards. So, okay, let's take that. Fine. Titans, defense, not good. We now realize that after a larger sample size. But I believe in Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs. He is so, speaking of underrated, someone that's never mentioned. We always mention Wade Phillips and Bill Belichick.
Why go to you? Because you called him the number one DC in the NFL, right?
He is fantastic at taking away things without you recognizing. And look, this is.
Do you know where he's from? Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Army.
Oh.
He was an Army, DC at Army, as a matter of fact.
Just so you know, he's from Ypsi.
So he.
Keith Armstrong, former center in the mid-'80s at Pitt.
How about that?
Ypsilanti, Michigan.
So,
Ipsy, if you want to sound like you're in
Ypsilanti, Michigan.
One of the things
Keith,
he did
you keep going, money.
Against the Chargers, who have not been a good running team, one of the worst running teams in the NFL, he basically just pushed his safeties outside and was like, "Go ahead, run the ball. We don't care." And there's Melvin Gordon ripping off 5 yards a carry, and all he's doing is pushing all the action to the outside. And what do you get? You get three interceptions in the first half. And if you watch these games and what the adjustments he made in that Patriots game after the early goings for Gillislee, he's great. And you put that guy up against a rookie quarterback behind an offensive line that has been leaky. And Deshaun Watson can mask that. I see Justin Houston and D Ford and I
D
say,
Ford is probably out. I believe he's in fact been already officially
even without D Ford, then if he's not gonna play, I'm still comfortable with Justin Houston.
Houston has been the defensive player
yes,
of the year.
And by himself, I'm comfortable with him. And they're solid. And by the way, their tackles are solid as well. Even without Don Terry Poe, their tackles have been solid on the interior of that line. I am totally fine. With
when are they
going
to go to? I mean, was it Donta Foreman's? He got in some trouble in the preseason, and maybe that's delayed his emergence. But I thought that he was going to be.
He had like the majority of the red zone responsibility. So
I think Lamar Miller just had a good game. You know, the game before, Deontay Foreman looked like the better back. I mean, if you just watch the game against the Patriots, like, well, yeah, that clearly is their guy moving forward. But you know, Miller. Played pretty well and caught the ball out of the backfield pretty well, too.
Cindy, tell Handsome why you think he and I are wrong about taking the Texans at home here.
Well, I think it'll be a closer game than potentially the Chiefs fans would like. I think it's maybe like a 6-point game as opposed to like, you know, I think Chiefs fans just want blowouts now after, you know, like they started so strong, right? You blow out the Patriots, you want all games to look like that. I think the stability that Kareem Hunt brings you to that offense. How well Alex Smith has done under pressure this season, throwing deep balls. They've changed the construction of what they're doing. The Travis Kelce blocking more and more efficiently, and the kind of balance they've struck. I know he's catching a lot of balls too, but watch what happens when he's not the target. He's throwing some really nasty blocks. So the efficiency of their offense and the efficiency of their defense, despite a bunch of, you know, injuries like you mentioned and losing Eric Berry, I don't think this is the construction. Like, Eric Berry was on Gronk and he shadowed Gronk, and that was scary for Gronk, right? Like, it helped shut Gronk down. You don't have that kind of tight end, that big presence, that huge body to overshadow someone. And Marcus Peters doesn't really travel. They stay on a side. Marcus Peters, you know, he takes risks sometimes and he can get burnt. That's why Berry and he are like, one's cerebral and one's, you know, more like
cherry picking. I'm right. Just going to hang out here and I'm going to lose my man for a 70-yard touchdown, but I'm going to pick you off next time.
Exactly. But if you have the balance of like a Berry and a Peters, it ends up
helps out.
Resulting in more turnovers. But if you don't have that same balance, then I just don't think that even though I think, you know, everyone, DeAndre Hopkins fully playable, Will Fuller could be a sneaky upside pick, I still just don't think they have that middle of the field stability for Deshaun Watson to get them the win.
I'm going with the Texans because talk about a lazy kind of narrative that's emerged this month. Go ahead.
Chris Jones. I want to make sure I invoke that name. Oh, I was trying to think of who it was on the line.
Chris Jones.
That freaking guy is a machine. I mean, he is a wrecking machine. Just look at him against the Eagles and the Chargers, and it is nuts how he wrecks one half of an offensive line. He is – I don't know if he's gotten a lot of run, you know, nationally or whatever, but that's what I was trying to think of.
No, he definitely hasn't. Like Aaron Donald, as a comparison, when you watch Aaron Donald, he's so dynamic. He's unlike any defensive tackle that I can ever remember watching because he's always in the backfield. But that doesn't necessarily – I know you have to give him more focus if you're the O-line and the back trying to protect the QB, but he doesn't consume the attention the way a guy like that does. Those guys that can
– And Benny Logan, who
can
just
eat up a couple of guys.
Of a man. Yeah, so you have those two guys next to each other, and that's how you get Houston right. Firing off on those edges at Watson.
I just – you know, the thing that we've heard a lot of applied to at least five teams in the NFL is that's the best defense in the league right there. I think the Texans, in fact, have the best defense. I think it's going to continue to emerge as being that, and I think this is the week that we see it.
Wait.
If you guys are right, if you guys are right, though, about
this Texans defense is better than Broncos? I'm throwing a red challenge flag at that. And you talk about defensive coordinators who don't get enough shine. Joe Woods, book that.
Okay,
book that for January.
He just started though. You
know, book that for January. New head coach.
All right. Give me something to think about.
You think Denver's
top three is all right though?
I get it. Like I said, Texans have one of the top five defenses in the NFL. I'm not going to argue with you about it. If you guys are right, though, this will be the game. People like saying it every week, but this is the week where the Where's Dwayne Brown sweepstakes will really heat up if Justin Houston has his way down in Houston. Last game, NFC North tilt, Vikes, Bears. Tell us about it.
Okay, this episode's called Growing Wanes. Feeling down about his play, Latavius seeks the advice of a sideline Dalvin who teaches him how to stick up for himself and understand that from time to time, we all get upset. Kendall Wright has an outburst when Trey Wayne steals his ball and runs away with it. Trubisky tries to impress his new buddies on the O-line by breaking into the end zone after dark.
High-end punnery and wordplay. Well
Love
done,
it.
MVP.
Duh.
You get the MVP for this show.
Thank you.
Well, and you know what? Matt Money Smith gets Coach of the Year for motivating you to these new heights. All right, back to you now.
I never said a word.
Now back to you, Cindy Freeland. Vikings. Bears, the debut of Trubisky.
Skull!
Oh, Skull. That's Vikings.
Am I going Skull? Yeah, I am going Skull.
Yeah.
Handsome?
Yeah, I'm Skulling.
Boy, that's a real indictment of the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears, yes. Well, they've got a rookie quarterback. I mean, a guy making his first start. I think that's normally a little scary.
I guess, but
Hard to project.
Case Keenum on the road.
That's the thing.
You know, the best defense in the NFL.
It's hard to project.
The Bears have a good defense.
That's the thing. And I think what happened was the defense has taken some licks because they got Aaron Rodgers. You know, Rodgers
right.
did, did, but because he just wrecks the Bears. He loves
plenty
it.
Good against the Pittsburgh Steelers the week before.
That's what I mean. So for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers loves to destroy. Well, not for whatever reason. He embraces the rivalry. He wants to destroy them every time he plays them, and it's great. I think that defense is a lot better than what they showed on national TV Thursday night. They needed some rest to heal up. At the same time, it's more about the other side, you know, the other combination of the Vikings defense versus a rookie quarterback.
If you want to hail Zimmer's defense, then that's one thing. But the inconsistency in the argument I'm hearing all week long is, what do you expect from the kid? I mean, he's never played in the NFL before. At the same time, people are saying, well, Deshaun Watson's got to be the rookie of the year. I mean, what a difference he's made on that team. If you buy, I mean, we're so skeptical of what the Bears' talent evaluation.
Look great. Look great. I know. Great in the
but preseason. The talent evaluation by the Bears, the way it went down is one thing, but the perception that he was the more talented option over Deshaun Watson. Well, what if he is? What if he's good? Why would Trubisky not be able to step in there and beat a team that's good, not some world beater Vikings team
defense.
On the road?
But it's great. That's a really good defense.
I would say it's the best defense in the NFL.
You would. It's great as Deshaun Watson looks now. He didn't look that great in his first two games or one and a half games, and I think that's where you're going to find with Trubisky. And yes, he looked good in preseason, but he was playing against twos and threes.
I think I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again to you.
Okay.
I think the greatest factor that you could give a quarterback, young or old, is for high-end receiver is nice, a running game, a safety blanket tight end. People, it's his favorite, blah, blah, blah. The best thing to have is a good offensive
And he's
line.
Got a good one.
And the Bears will keep him clean. Yeah. That's what you need to have. Cindy?
I think you're going to see a lot of two running back, two tight end sets to give Trubisky an opportunity to get some extra blockers in there and make shorter passes and get going in a little bit. Like, stay in his – I don't want to say the word comfort zone because then people will be like, oh, well, in college he did that. No. Like, the speed and adjustment, give her some higher percentage passes as an opportunity to begin with. I don't think this is the game where you're going to have a – like, this is not the defense to try to pick apart in any sort. And you don't really have the weapons in your wide receiver core who are you going to put up against, number 29? Like, Xavier Rhodes. Like,
I know.
Okay.
Like, it is a weird spot to decide, like, yeah, now let's
that's because they have the extra 3 days. You know, it's Thursday to Monday. It's the longest you can have without a bye week. And I think their bye week is pretty deep. So it made sense that this is the week
you
shift to him.
I'm not opposed to starting him.
Not an ideal opponent, though.
Look, I don't know if he's ready or not. I think only the coaches know. Only he knows. And if he is or he isn't, it doesn't matter because he's starting already. So, you know, this is a situation where, you know, create a game plan. Like, Dowell Loggins is going to lean on those running backs. That's what he's been doing all year long. I think maybe the Tariq Cohen passing game, that could be something to target for fantasy purposes. But I think they're going to try to get those tight ends out there, block for him, and give him a little extra time so that he can get comfortable.
I'll just say, I don't know. I hate when I hear people say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Man, he throws a nice ball.
He does.
Like, his ball, the ball he throws looks good. I mean, now I can get why teams kind of are like, hey, this guy, you know, and you're like, who? Mitchell Trubisky? That guy? But then when you see him throw it, you're like, man, that's a good looking ball.
He throws a great ball.
It's beautiful.
People can use preseason narratives to tell whatever agenda they'd like. If they want to say that he's not ready, they'll be like, oh, it was just the preseason he threw those great balls. Or if they want to say that he's ready, be like, you know what? The preseason, he looked amazing. We're going to see a really good defense that you're not going to want to target. It's not a preseason game. It's game speed. I don't know who he's going to throw it to.
You know, you make me think of a fascinating thing as we wrap it up here. What would the Chiefs' record be right now if they would have said, you know what, Mahomes looked too good in preseason. Let's be real. Let's just go with that kid.
I mean, you think about what Alex Smith did against the Patriots.
Let's have that conversation next week because we're running short on time, but it is fun.
Let's do that.
I like that one. That's a fun
one. I like that one.
I like this show, the first half.
Great work, Emma.
Filled with tumult, but we pulled it through in the end thanks to Coach Matt Money Smith. Coming down on all of us hard, making us
confront
some
better.
Uncomfortable truths about ourselves.
I'm just
Thanks
happy.
For coming, Dave.
I'm happy despite you running late, you had time to iron your shirt.
You know what? Yellow eggs for all. You know what?
Ew.
I'm sick of all of you.
No.
This place stinks worse than a rotten egg. I'm out of here. We'll talk to you after week 5, everybody. Good work, MVP. Watch NFL Pick'em, Thin Slice of Heaven.